Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Paranormal experiences don't really work to a timescale, and therefore, we invite you to listen to a dark minisode. Hello, everyone, and first and foremost, Merry Christmas, if you celebrate it, that is. Today, we are releasing an episode as usual, and it will be your usual dark minisode sent in by one of our wonderful listeners. And of course, because I can't control the calendars, it means next week's dark minisode will release on New Year's Day. But I guess, in a way, that's kind of fitting that we're beginning literally day one of 2025 with one of your experiences being aired. Start as you mean to go on, as they say. But let's crack right on with our Christmas Day minisode provided to us by Mark. And it goes thus. Howdy, Dark Paranormal. My name is Mark and I live in the States. I'm currently attending a university. And I listen to your podcast during my one-hour trips to and from classes. I'm not sure if this will meet the criteria for an episode, but I did want to share my experiences with the supernatural. My sister, Carrie, and I have always been ghost enthusiasts. We'd watch haunting shows and love anything to do with hauntings. Did we believe in what we were seeing? Well, that's a different story. Or at least, it was. Until we went to visit this old slave home a few towns over from where we lived. We'd been given permission to visit from a family friend, who they themselves had often wondered if the house was haunted given its dark history. It was an old plantation home, where the owner of the plantation housed several slaves in bunkers beneath the home. The owner was not a good man, to say the very least, often having domestic disputes with his wife. Once, he had an affair with a maid and then killed her in the hopes of covering it up. He would even prostitute his slaves to travelling soldiers who would hide on his plantation during one of the wars. My sister and I didn't expect much from our trip to this plantation, but we were excited to finally go on a real ghost hunting expedition. The old plantation home was definitely abandoned. Broken windows, chipped paint. Even the back of the house had fallen down. Once we walked into the home, the temperature dropped drastically, to the point we could see our own breath. Keep in mind, this was September, so it wasn't really cold enough for our breath to be seen. We walked around and took some random pictures of different areas in the hopes of picking something up on our cameras. Not much happened during our hunting mission, so after about 2 hours, we left to go home. A few days later, we were looking through those pictures we took, and we saw two key figures in those pictures. The first was of a picture we had taken of the attic. Inside the attic, you could see a white silhouette of a young man staring down at us. He didn't seem angry or upset, mostly curious, like he didn't know what we were up to. We couldn't see all of his figure, but he had light brown short hair and what looked like a green dress coat. The second picture was a young woman kneeling by a window, almost like she was praying. She had long black hair, a super light purple dress, and dirty sneakers. My sister, Carrie, was ecstatic as she'd finally gotten her proof of the paranormal. You see, we are Christians and grew up in a very Christian home. My dad did not believe in ghosts. He believed in angels and demons, but not human spirits. He always told us when we die, we either go to heaven or hell immediately. Needless to say, he narrowed it down to the lighting through the windows or the flash of our cameras. But they were too lifelike to be a coincidence. Around a week later, and I was in the living room playing with my Xbox. The way the house is laid out is we have the den, or the TV room, with a couch, a recliner, and a 50-inch TV on the wall. Right next to it is the living room, or gaming room, which has a few beanbag chairs and a TV for our gaming consoles. There is no door between these two rooms, just a wide doorway. I was playing some WWE 2K24 in the gaming room while my mum slept in the recliner in the TV room. Now, she's a very loud snorer, often sounding like a grizzly bear. She started snoring really loud, which caught my attention. So I look over to make sure she's not choking. But what I saw, however, sticks with me to this day. Because right behind her recliner was a young man with light brown hair and a green suit. He didn't have any kind of expression on his face. He was just staring at me. For some reason, I chalked it up to me being tired and maybe thinking too much about the plantation home, so I just ignored it. Everything was normal until one morning, several days later, when I walked into the TV room and standing by the window, looking out of it, was the young man in green. At this point, I knew something was up. I went and talked to my sister about what I'd seen. She then told me that she was sitting in her room when she had some strange experiences too. Like this stuffed rabbit that she has, sliding along her dresser top and falling onto the floor. Or, her light flickering before the bulb shattered to pieces. My sister has always been, I guess, sensitive to death. She could predict our dog, Midnight, was going to die several days before she actually did. Midnight was 12 years old and did have kidney issues, so we didn't think much about it. But she also predicted a couple of other pets' deaths, and even our uncle's. We started talking about who we thought this man was, and what he wanted. Suddenly, my sister looked behind where I was standing and said, "Hubert!" I looked behind me to see what she saw, and there was the young man stood in the doorway. What was odd was we didn't feel in danger when we saw him. Almost safer. "Your name is Hubert?" my sister asked him. She then tells me that he came from the old plantation home where he was a ranch hand, who was murdered by the owner for having an affair with the owner's wife. She asked him what he wanted, but she said he wouldn't tell her. A couple of nights later, I was sleeping in my room, when I randomly woke up at 3 a.m. I looked at the foot of my bed to see a young woman stood there staring at me. Long black hair, some of which was in her face, and a light purple dress. She, again, didn't put off a feeling of danger, but her presence was alarming. I remember saying to myself, "It's not real, it's not real," over and over, before finally somehow going back to sleep. The next morning, I awoke and stepped out of my room and saw the back of a girl go round the corner of the hallway. Black hair and a light purple dress. The same girl from the night before. I hurried around the corner, which led to a big room, but she was nowhere to be found. I, of course, went to talk to my sister about it, who told me she resembled exactly what the girl in the picture resembled. I asked my sister if she could tell me the girl's name, but my sister, as yet, hadn't been visited by the young woman. The young woman didn't rely as much on sight to let us know she was around. She did more of a feeling. The same innocent but shy feelings I got the night I saw her. Unlike Hubert, though, this woman would touch me. I'd randomly feel a light hand on my shoulder or on my back, like someone came up to me and tapped me. I'd turn around and there would be nothing there, but that feeling again. I tried to be kind to the woman, and I'd often say, "It's okay, you're okay here," in the hope to get her to open up. After a few weeks, my sister came to me and told me, "The woman's name is Morgan." I asked my sister if the woman Morgan had told her, but she said that it was actually Hubert who told her, saying that Morgan had given him permission to share her identity. We still did not know what these spirits wanted. My sister often thought they just wanted peace. We'd often heard that some spirits could not move on until they found peace about something that happened in their lives. Let's take a quick break in proceedings to talk to you about the holiday season and the M word. Not mistletoe, money. Because food, decorations, presents, they don't come for free. And at this time of year, everyone knows to the last digit what is in their bank account. Well, I know I do anyway. And when I get my statement in January, I look and think, I didn't need to go out then. I didn't need to buy that. I didn't need to buy as many of those. And I kick myself and say, next year, you'll do something better with your money. And that was me rinse and repeat until last year when I actually did. Now, you'll have heard me talk about Acorns before, and there's a reason for it. Because Acorns make it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, your retirement, even during the holidays. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can create your Acorns account and start automatically investing your money in just 5 minutes. And you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be $5 a day or just even your spare change. That's right, Acorns can round every purchase you make up to a dollar and automatically invest that spare change for you. So if you buy a coffee on the way to work, that's investing. And you can get bonus investments just for buying the stuff you need from the brands you love. The change I said I made last year, well, I looked at all the excess I would have spent and I invested it. And believe me, guys, that's why Acorns are so important. And I'll be doing the same this year, because when you look at your statement in January and you see you've invested money instead of wasting it, it's a great feeling. So head over to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsements. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investment involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My sister would sometimes ask them questions when in her room, but not a lot was answered. That was until we met Emily. Emily just appeared one night and ran round our house. You'd think it would be startling to see a young child with light brown hair and a pink dress running through your home, but after Hubert and Morgan, not very much was surprising us. Emily never stuck around, though. She would sometimes move toys or change TV channels, but mostly whenever we saw her, she would be running through the house or sitting on the couch, and she would disappear almost immediately. You're probably thinking, how did we know her name was Emily? Well, Hubert told my sister. He also told her that Emily was his little sister, and Morgan was her nanny. Hubert became friends with Morgan on the plantation from Emily. He also told us that Morgan was killed by a horse stomping on her head, thus her hesitation to talk to us. We had a horse at the time, named TJ, which made us scary to Morgan. He never told us how Emily died, but my sister often got the feeling it was from a disease, one that the people of the time would have suffered from. Emily was kind of fun to have around, like a little sister you didn't have to feed. I found out through my sister that Emily really liked watching me playing video games. They mesmerized her. So I would play video games and talk to Emily, as if I could see her there. Morgan always seemed to stick with me, though. I'd usually feel her strongest in my room. If I was upset, I'd feel a hand on my shoulder, as if comforting me. I remember my high school prom was coming up, and I told her if she followed me to the prom and wanted to dance, to tap me on the shoulder blade and I would share a dance with her. An odd thing to say, I know, but it seemed harmless at the time. At the prom, they played a slow dance, and although I don't remember the song, I do remember I didn't have anyone to dance with at the time as my date, Elizabeth, had went to the restroom. Standing in the corner watching the other couples sway back and forth, I get a tap on my shoulder blade. Thinking it was Elizabeth coming back from the bathroom, I turn around to find no one there. Then I remembered what I told Morgan about the dance. So I, to the best of my ability, danced with Morgan. I even joked that I hoped I was holding her right, since I couldn't actually see her. And just then, for a split second, I saw her staring into my eyes, smiling, before vanishing as quick as she came. I was a little emotional, and my date, Elizabeth, came back and asked me what was wrong. I didn't tell her, though, as I didn't want to look crazy. Hubert stuck with my sister, though, as did Emily. My sister said often she'd see Hubert wherever she went, like he was watching her. But that isn't where our visitors end. I went to see my grandparents, who lived just a couple of houses down, so I would walk to see them. As I turned to walk up their driveway, I see a tall soldier in a black uniform with a rifle standing on my grandparents' porch. He was looking into the door. I asked who he was, but he vanished as well. I went in to see my grandpa, and I didn't mention anything about what I saw. After maybe 30 minutes, I guess, my grandpa came in and said, "Have you met Daniel? He's an old soldier friend of mine." I was floored. I said, "Granddad, I don't see Daniel." To which my granddad told me, "He stood over there." My granddad pointed to the corner of the room and then told me that Daniel was wearing a black uniform. I spoke to Daniel, but inside I was so confused. Are the spirits making themselves known to other members of my family as well? I finally got together with my sister to ask Hubert what was going on. And Hubert told my sister that Daniel was a friend of his, one who would come to the plantation quite often. However, he wouldn't come for sex with the slaves, but to see the maid who doctored him back to health one day, after he was wounded on the plantation. Daniel had a much more aggressive demeanor to him. But we learned that that was due to his death. You see, Daniel was hung as a traitor because he refused to kill some of the slaves who tried to flee the plantation. Finally, Hubert told us why they were there. For protection. Hubert said that a man our dad's sister had married was a descendant of the plantation owner, and was out to kill our grandfather and take his money. Now, my grandfather wasn't a filthy rich man, but he was well off. He would often see someone struggling and just hand them a $50 bill in hopes it would help them out. Naturally, no one believed us. Well, except for our granddad. He knew Daniel was there to help and figured the rest of the spirits were as well. And so began a 5-year legal battle to rid ourselves of that descendant. Hubert, Morgan, Emily, and Daniel all stuck around for the first few years after that battle. One day, I remember feeling a small hug from a small child, like she'd wrapped her arms around my waist and squeezed. A few weeks later, I felt another hug, this time from a woman about my height, her arms wrapping around my neck and squeezing. These hugs felt like goodbyes. I couldn't figure it out. I talked to my sister about it, and that's when she broke the news to me. "They moved on, Mark," my sister told me. She then said that Hubert had come to her room and told her how much he appreciated our kindness, but now he had to go. He then told her that her and I still needed to fight in order to save my granddad, and he would be rooting for us. My sister said she asked what we need to do if she fails, to which Hubert told her, "Daniel said he will handle it." Sadly, we were never able to get the help we needed to save our granddad, and he eventually died. His fortune went to my dad's sister and her husband. About a year after my granddad's death, my family and I moved to another state. Too many bad memories in the last one. And about a year after that, we got word that the descendant, we'll call him Lee, had died. An autopsy was performed at the request of Lee's mother, but the results came back, as the coroner described it, disturbing. I often wonder if Daniel came back to exact his revenge for his old friend and our grandfather. It was the last thing Hubert told us, so it's not out of the realm of possibilities, at least in my mind. Maybe Lee died of an overdose. He was a drug addict, apparently. Or maybe his wife killed him. She'd been married 4 times before that, and all of her husbands wound up dying. So what would keep him from being the 5th? Regardless, I think about Hubert, Morgan, Emily, and Daniel a lot. I wonder why they felt the need to come into our lives and to help us. Was it fate for us to go to that old plantation home? Would they have even found us if we'd not gone to that place? I do hope they found heaven as their home. Despite their flaws, they were good people, too good to go to hell. And it would break my heart to think that that's where they ended up. I wish I could see them, even if just one of them, one more time. I'd thank them for what they did and tried to do for us. Many people look at us like we're crazy, so it's hard to find people to reach out to about our experiences. I'm thankful that your podcast has allowed me to reach out to someone. This is the first time in almost 6 years I've really sat down to talk about them. I'm not a Patreon as yet, as a broke college life has been a real thing for me. But maybe this will reach people. Everyone always seems to think that spirits are there to harm us or get something from us. Very rarely do I hear of spirits coming to the living to help the living. And I'm forever grateful for my 4 ghostly friends. They may not have been actual angels, but they certainly were mine. Keep up the great work, my friend. I'll be listening. Mark. Well, thank you so much, Mark, for giving us our Christmas Day minisode. And don't worry about not being on Patreon. Patreon is for people who can support the show financially. And if you can't, that does not make you any less of a fan. You can share the show, you can rate the show, review the show, spread news about the show. They're all free things. And I'm very conscious that it feels like the real fans are the Patreons. And yes, they are invested in the show, both financially and with ideas to move the show forward. But shows like Dark Realms that have been introduced are also there for the people who aren't Patreons. Just to show that everyone who listens to these shows, I'm extremely thankful for, humbled by, and with the exception of that Patreon community, the only difference is Dark Bites. Other than they get these shows earlier and ad-free. But you don't miss out if you're not a Patreon, is my point. There are very few shows that put three different shows out a week for free. But we are proudly one of them, because the paranormal should not be ring-fenced or gatekept. It's something for all of us to enjoy, to seek wonder in, to find wonder at, to ask ourselves questions, and also to hopefully find answers. But it is Christmas Day, unbelievably. And so have yourself a very Merry Christmas if you celebrate it. And if you don't, have yourself a fantastic Wednesday. I will return, of course, on Friday for the next installment of Season 18. And until then, remember, when you're discussing the paranormal, always try to leave some of your disbelief at the door. And until then, take care.